بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم نحمدہ و نصلی و نسلم علی رسولہ الکریم اما بعد Dear respected friends, elders, let us ask ourselves this question that what do we imagine to be the most beloved amal and most beloved deed in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There are many of my young friends sitting over here, mashallah. All night they have been with us, still mashallah, they are eager. They are motivated to learn more and more. And my dear friends, what do you think is the most beloved action in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'een, because they were always competing for the hereafter, they were always trying to achieve for the hereafter, at times they would go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, such a great companion himself, he says, that ataytu an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqultu, ya Rasulullah, ayyul a'mali ahabbu ilallah. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me, which amal is the most beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we do the most beloved amal, then we will become beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So which amal is the most beloved in His eyes? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, as-salatu ala waqtiha. That when the time for salah comes, then in the prescribed time for salah, in the preferred time for salah, you pray your namaz on time. And by saying this, he reminded us that you fulfill the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has upon you. So he said, perfect. Thumma ayyun. Then which amal ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am praying my salah. Which I need another amal now. Which amal is most beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, birrul walidain. Birrul walidain, that you are kind, you are compassionate, you are good towards your parents. For you to be kind and for you to be good towards your parents after salah, meaning after the rites of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all the necessary actions that we need to do, after this, the most rewardable act you can do, the most rewardable deed you can do is you fulfill the rights of your parents. You be kind and merciful towards your parents. You do husna suluk and you deal nicely with your parents. You do khidma of your parents. This is the best amal you can do after fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear friends, when we look inside the glorious Quran, different places you will see that where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned His own right, directly after that, Allah tells us to fulfill the rights of our parents. Allah says, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, that believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only worship Allah alone. Do not worship anybody else. Do not ascribe partners to anybody else. And this order of tawheed, and not to do shirk, it's such an important order, my dear friends. It's the biggest right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after he mentions his biggest right, because any other sin, my dear friends, not that we want to sin, but any other sin Allah will forgive. But shirk and ascribing partners to Allah and taking two gods or three gods or thinking that anybody else deserves to be worshipped, this is shirk. And Allah will never forgive this. But shirk is the biggest right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the major right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After this, my dear friends, what does Allah say? وَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And you be good towards your parents. You fulfill the rights of your parents. My dear friends, every single one of us sitting over here, every single Muslim, non-Muslim in this world, every single human being sitting and standing and living on this earth right now, my dear friends, if it wasn't for our parents, we would not be sitting over here today. If it wasn't for the sacrifice that our parents gave behind us, my dear friends, we would not be sitting over here today. Once, one person, he was performing Hajj, he was performing Tawaf, and he met the great companion Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. And he said, O Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, I have lifted my mother all the way from Yemen, all the way till Hajj, all the way to the Baytullah. I have lifted my mother on my shoulders. I have been
Just like a camel is for its owner. That wherever the camel says take, wherever the owner says take me, the camel will go. Just like a camel is for its rider, I have been the camel for my mother. I have carried her all the way from Yemen to here. And O Abdullah bin Umar, I have held her on my shoulders. And I am making her do tawaf whilst I am holding her. O Abdullah bin Umar, I have done this much khidmah for my mother. I have done this much khidmah for my mother. O Abdullah bin Umar, tell me, have I fulfilled her right? Have I fulfilled the right of my mother? What did he say? La wa bi zafratin wahida. No, not even that one oof that your mother gave when she was giving birth to you. When your mother was in labor with you, and your mother was screaming because she was going through so much pain, and you came out alive. Even that one oof that your mom gave at that time, you have not repaid her for that even one oof. After carrying her on your shoulders for hundreds of miles, my dear friends, from Yemen all the way to Makkah Mukarramah, he says, no, not even that one ah and that one scream your mother gave, and she has to go through such. Doctors will tell you that when our mothers gave birth to us, my dear friends, they go through such a difficult stage that sometimes doctors say as well that now at this stage, either the mom will stay alive or either the child will stay alive. That's how much of a detrimental stage they have to go through. And not that's just one stage, my dear friends. What about the 9 months before that? What about the 9 months before that? When you will become parents, my dear friends, and my young boys, when you will become parents, you will understand what our parents have done for us. Do not think that this period of labor and when our parents are giving birth to us, do not think it's an easy process, my dear friends. It's a very difficult process. From when the 9 months start, from there, for many, many women, they have to go through so much difficulty. Until I had my child as well, I used to think that, yes, when does the difficulty start for the mother? When she's giving labor, when she's giving birth. Until then, I used to think that's when the difficulty starts. But my dear friends, when I saw that when my wife, she conceived my child, from that day, from that morning, the morning sickness started. And every morning she starts the day, she's vomiting. And she goes through so much trouble. But why does she go through that trouble? Because she knows I'm doing all of this for my child. And then, when our mothers are in labor, it's such a difficult time. Such a difficult time. And then we come into this world, my dear friends. And from day one when we come into this world, this mother, her whole life has changed now. Her whole life changes now. Before, she was living like a free woman. She was doing whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted. Now her whole life revolves and depends around her child. That I need to wake up at this time because I need to feed my child. Early in the late hours of the night, in the early hours of the day, she needs to wake up early because she needs to change her child's nappy. She needs to feed her child. And just when our mothers, my dear friends, when they are breastfeeding us as well, when they are giving us milk, to you and I, when we see it with our siblings later on, that, oh look, my mom is giving milk to my younger brother, to my younger sister, we think it's a very easy process. No. No, scientists will also tell you as well that it takes 40 morsels of food. 40 morsels of food to make one drop of blood. To make one drop of blood. And it takes 40 drops of blood to make one drop of milk. If after so much energy, the milk comes into her body, you tell me when she gives her milk to you and I, how much energy is she losing at one time? They lose so much energy and they become so weak. All of this she does. Why? Because she loves her child. She loves her child. She cannot forsake her child. Her child falls down and he gets a small bump on her head. The mother can't sleep that night. When we were small kids, we were running around in the house, playing with our brothers and sisters, playing with our cousins, and we would walk into the door sometimes, fall on the floor sometimes, we would graze our knees, graze our elbows, To us, it was just a small scratch. But to our mothers, the whole world went dark for them. Oh, my poor child. Look, he's hurt himself. Look, my poor child. He fell down. Look what happened to my daughter. Look what happened to my son. During the nights when we would sometimes wet our beds, we were children, all of us sitting over here, in the early hours of the day or the late hours of the night, and the bed is really cold, the room is really cold as well. Sometimes we would wet ourselves in the bed. So what would our mothers do? Our mothers would wake up. No matter how tired they would be, they would wake up. They would change us. And then in the wet side of the bed, they would go to sleep and they would say, better you come and sleep on this side of the bed. What qurbani have our parents not given to us, my dear friends? Younger boys sitting over here, people of my age sitting over here, people elder than me sitting over here, ask ourselves, my dear friends, what qurbani did our parents not give for us? Every single qurbani they could do, every single opportunity they had to give us comfort, they went through difficulty themselves just to give us comfort. Just to give us comfort. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, once when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came home, she said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something ajeeb happened today. Something ajeeb happened today. She said, what happened? She said, one woman, she came knocking on our door. She did not have any food. So she said that, oh woman, do you have any food for us? So Aisha radiallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our house we only had 3 kajus. We only had 3 kajus. So I thought to myself, let me take this kajur and give it to the poor woman. She's come begging at the door. Let me give it to her. So this one woman had two children with her. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said that when I gave it to this woman, she took one kajur, gave it to one child. She took another kajur, she gave it to another child, and she held on to the third kajur. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said that I thought because I gave 3 kajus, one each. And I thought that she gave one each to the child, and this woman was going to eat her kajur. She took this kajur to her mouth, and both children said, Mom, what about us? What about us? We are still hungry. So Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha said, I saw this mother, she cut this kajur in two, she gave one slice to the other child and one slice to the other child. She had nothing for herself. She had nothing for herself. This is not just one story. Thousands and thousands of stories like this, my dear friends, the qurbani and the sacrifices that that our parents have given for us. I'm talking to the younger generation and the children my age as well. That we are seeing a lot of luxury and facility around us today. We are seeing a lot of ease around us today. But we don't know that our parents, just to feed us, they had to go through so much. There are children sitting over here who will say that, you know, when we were young, we can't even remember our dad in the house. Why? Because dad was out all day earning for us. Because if we didn't put 24 hours of the clock together, then we would have died out of hunger. We would have suffered out of hunger. But just to feed us, just to fulfill our needs, just to educate us, just to give us a better life, they left their countries, they left their poor countries, put their whole life savings together, borrowed thousands and thousands of rupees and pounds and dollars from other people, just so they could come to this country, settle down in this country, just so they could give you and I a better life. And even till today, they work so hard for us. And any need they can see, that let me try and do this for my child. Let me try and do this for my child. They will do it for us, my dear friends. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, after the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, birrul walidain, for you to be good to your parents is the best deed you can do. When companion came, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want Jannah, I want reward, so I want to go out in the path of Allah. I will go out, I will spread deen like this, I want to go out in the path of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, are any of your parents alive? He said, yes, both of them. Then he reminded him again, he said, you want to acquire the reward of Allah, right? You want the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He said, yes. So he's thinking that my reward lies in going out in the path of Allah and going out in whatever the activities the sahaba would do when they would go out. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you stay home and you do khidmah of your parents. This is where your jihad lies. This is where the reward of your jihad lies. That you stay home and you do khidmah of your parents. You stay home and you do khidmah of your parents. My dear friends, as we get older, we tend to forget that they are also getting older. We get older, we start thinking, yeah, What does this old man know? What does my mom know? They don't know anything. Look, I'm old enough now. I know what I'm doing. When you were 0 years old, when you were 1 year old, your parents were 25. Today, when you are 25, you must forget your parents are still not 25. They have grown to 50 now. They have got double the experience that you have in your life. When your parents are advising you something, why do you turn around and say, you don't know what you're talking about? I know what I need to do in life. You don't need to tell me. Remember, our parents would never ever advise us to do something where there is our harm. If they are telling us to do something, it is for our benefit. If they are telling us not to do something, it's because they can see our harm inside there. Because they can see our harm inside there. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that رِضَى الرَّبِّ فِي رِضَى الْوَالِدِ وَسَخَتُ الرَّبِّ فِي سَخَتِ الْوَالِدِ. Allahu Akbar. Allah Ta'ala makes the pleasure of the parents tantamount to His own pleasure. He says, if your parents are pleased with you, then I am pleased with you. And if your parents are angry with you, upset with you, for as long as they will remain angry and upset with you, I, Allah Ta'ala, will remain angry and upset with you. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the pleasure of Allah lies in the pleasure of your parents with you. If they are pleased with you, Allah is pleased with you. And if they are angry with you, then Allah is angry with you. My dear friends, those people who in the past and even till today, they have been able to serve their parents, Allah Ta'ala has shown him, Allah Ta'ala has shown them the fruits of their khidmah here in this world. It's a very famous story. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, three travelers, they were going somewhere. And as they were climbing the mountain, it started to rain really, really heavily. So they said, come on, let's go into this cave, we'll take shelter into the cave. So they went into the cave, but because the weather was really bad, thunder or lightning must have come down, that this boulder came rolling down and it covered the mouth of the cave. A big boulder. And how were three men going to move this boulder? So now they're stuck in the cave thinking, you know, maybe someone will come to hell. Maybe it might roll down a bit more, but they saw this boulder is not moving now. And we do not have the strength to do anything over here. Nor do we have any animals with us, nor do we have any other manpower with us. So they said, let's do mashwara. When they did mashwara, they came up with the idea that all of us, let's make dua to Allah. And each and every single one of us, think of the most sincere act we have ever done in our life. Most sincere act we have ever done in our life. And then we say to Allah, oh Allah, this act I did for you, not for anybody else. Oh Allah, if this act is accepted in your court, then oh Allah, send down your help and move this boulder for us. So one companion started his dua. And he said his incident, that oh Allah, this happened in my life and this happened. And oh Allah, for your sake I did this. Oh Allah, if it's accepted in your court, oh Allah, move the boulder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala slightly moved the boulder, but not enough for these people to get out. Second person started his dua. Again, Allah Ta'ala slightly moved the boulder. I don't want to go into the detail. Third person, he said, oh Allah, you and I know this fact. Oh Allah, you and I know this fact that, oh Allah, during the day I would go out. And I would have to go out far into the farms. And I had to go and work and I had to earn my living. And then I would bring food and drink home. And every day I would cow the milks and I would bring the milk home to the family. And oh Allah, you know that I had so much respect for my parents that I would not feed my wife, I would not feed my children until I would feed my parents first. This was his amal. So much respect for his parents, he understood that before wife and children, my mother and father come first. Many people, because they've got people my age sitting over here as well, when they get married, they tend to forget about mom and dad. Tend to forget about mom and dad. The wife becomes the most important thing in the world now. The wife is creating enmity between him and his mother, and he's failing to realize that he's not a good woman for me. She's causing division over here, friction over here. So we must always remember that even when we get married, they are still our parents. And they have right over us more than our wives have the right over us. Our parents' right comes first. So anyway, this person said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know that one day I got really, really delayed. I had to go really far. And I came home with the bucket of milk. And I took it out in a jug. And I went to my mom and dad's bedroom to go and feed them the milk. But I saw that my mom and dad were sleeping. I saw that they are already sleeping. Now, my children were crying on one side as well. They were coming to my feet, begging at my feet that, Abu, Abu, give us milk, give us milk. And oh Allah, I was thinking that if I woke them up, I will disturb them. If I give them the milk, then I will violate my parents, right? If I wake my parents up, I will disturb them as well. So Allah, after thinking, what should I do? I stood there and I said to myself, I will stand over here until the time comes and they will wake up themselves. He said, oh Allah, I stood there for a few hours until just before the time of Fajr. My parents woke up. When they woke up, they saw me and they took the milk from me. Oh Allah, if this amal of this night of mine, oh Allah, if it is accepted in your court, oh Allah, you help us and move the boulder. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moved the boulder for them. See how respect and doing khidmah and looking after your parents in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. I remember Mawlana Arshad Madni Damat Barakatuhum, very great alim, very great scholar. He's a Sayyid from the family lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came once to Leicester and he gave a bayan in the masjid. I was present there as well. And he said that if you want to prosper in deen, if you want to prosper in deen, then respect the ulama kiram. Respect your teachers, respect the asatiza. And if you want to prosper in the dunya, which we need both in this world, we need prosperity in deen and we need prosperity in the dunya. So he said, if you want to prosper in deen, you respect your ulama kiram, you respect the scholars, and if you want to prosper in the dunya, then you respect your parents. You respect the parents. Many people sitting over here will say, whatever we have today is because of my mom and dad duas. Whatever I have today, whatever you can see today, is because of my mom and dad duas. My dear friends, imagine, you know, I run a small madrasa in London, right? And I try to give some time to my students. And sometimes when I see that I'm explaining to them, I'm telling them off, I'm reprimanding them, I'm spending so much time behind them, spending money behind them, still this child is not listening to me, still he's not learning his sabak properly, then my heart cries from inside. And sometimes tears come rolling down my eyes as well. And then I think to myself that if a ustad feels so hurt over his student, then what about when you and I, we talk back to our parents, we get rude to our parents, times have gone so bad, daughters pushing their mothers in the house, fathers swearing and quarreling with their fathers in the house, hitting their fathers in the house as well. I think that me being a ustad, these kids are not related to me. I'm just the ustad, I only spend 2 hours with them. But still, if I feel so hurt, then imagine how hurt a mother and a father feels after doing so much for their children that they turn around and they're swearing at them. They are disobedient to them. The parents are saying, can you do this little favor? Parents are literally begging, better please, can you do this favor? No, why should I do it for you? Go and do it yourself. Parents are begging, better look, don't do this mistake. Is it very wrong? Who are you to tell me? What do you know? This is the way we talk back to our parents. And because it's been drilled in your minds, because it's being drilled in your minds, living in a free country like this, that don't worry, nobody can control you, nobody can tell you off, run away from your homes if you want, you think you're free. You think you're able to do whatever you want. What about when you go in the qabr? Who's going to come to help you then? What about on the day of judgment? When after all this quarreling and fighting with your parents, who's going to help you then? And let me tell you, my dear friends, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that if you will respect your parents today, when you get older and you get married and you have children, Allah ta'ala will automatically make your children obey you. And if you disobey your parents, you know, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, every single sin a man will commit, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him in the hereafter. Except for disobedience to parents, Allah will forward that punishment and give him the punishment in this world. Every other sin, Allah, if he wants to punish in the world, he will. Otherwise, he'll save it for the hereafter. But he says, when you are disrespectful and disobedient to your parents, then in this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you. In this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish you. A story is mentioned where there was a young man. His name was Alqama. Actually, before I mention the story of the young man, there's another story. That one old man, when his son got older, 20, 25 years old, they got into an argument and they were sitting in one side of the room. The son started to push the father. Push the father. Push the father. All the way till they got 3/4 of the room. Then the father said, stop. Now you can stop. So the son said, are you crazy or what? I've pushed you all the way from here today. You didn't say anything. And now you are saying all of a sudden, stop. He said, because when I was small, I pushed my dad all the way from here to there as well. And I am saying stop because I stopped over there as well. The moral of the story is, the way he treated his father 20, 25 years ago, today his own son is treating him like this as well. So my dear friends, we must not forget, just because the culture outside does not teach us to respect our parents, just because the so-called freedom slogan outside, you know, tells us that act however we want, nobody can lift a finger on us, nobody can say whatever they want to us, this is the law of the land. You must not forget the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must not forget that they have rights over us. You must not forget that we must do their khidmah, we must serve them. We have their rights to fulfill. So anyway, I was saying, there was this young man, his name was Alqama. And he was a very pious man. He was a very pious man. He used to pray all his salah properly, fulfill all the rights of Allah properly, and do many, many extra actions as well. Anyway, he got married. When he got married, you know, he moved away from his mom's house and him and his wife started to live separately. They were living a good life until one day something happened to him. Maybe he had a heart attack or something. Maybe he had a stroke or something. So his wife sent a message to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that my husband seems like he's on his last moment and I want you to come and give him the talqeen of the kalima. Make him pray the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Ammar and two other companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He said, go and help him do the talqeen of the kalima. After a while they came back. He said, Ya Rasulullah, there's a big problem. What's the problem? Saying that he's doing everything else but he's just not praying the kalima. We can see that anytime soon the angel of death will come and take his ruh away, take his soul away. He can do everything else. He's talking to us, he can listen to us, everything. But he's just not praying the kalima. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was informed by wahi that because his mother is upset with him, he's being deprived from the kalima on his deathbed. On his deathbed. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, go and call his mother. He summoned the mother. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked her, that is your son okay? How is he? Look at the mother. Even being so upset, even in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look how much parents care for us. She covered the son up. She said, no, my son is a very good boy. And he prays all his namaz properly, and he fasts, he fulfills all the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's a very good person. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tell me the truth. How do you feel with regards to your son? So she said, yes, there is one thing. That since he got married, he got so engaged with his wife, he completely forgot about me. He does not come to look to my needs, he does not come to help me, and it has hurt me from inside now. And I am really, really upset from inside. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, forgive him now. He is at the deathbed, you must forgive him. She said, no, I can't forgive him. It's just too much for me now. And when I think back at the flashbacks, I just don't find it inside me to forgive him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions that, go and get some wood pieces. So she said, what are you doing? She said, look, if you're not going to forgive him, then we might as well throw him into the fire. She said, no, that's my son, you can't do this. See, the love for the mother will always ignite, my dear friends. You break up with your friends, after a while they say, we don't want to know you anymore. You break up with your parents 100 times, they will always say, better come back, doesn't matter, come back. Come back, better let's try again. Let's try another way. Don't be upset, don't run away from home like this. Don't do this, don't do this. Parents will always embrace us. So, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look, if you're not going to forgive him, then we might as well light a fire and throw him into the fire. So she said, no, you can't do this to my child. I love him, I will never let this happen. So then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O old lady, if you cannot tolerate seeing your child going into the fire of the world, if you do not forgive him, he will have to go into the fire of Jahannam. So then she realized. She said, fine, okay, I will forgive him. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ammar radiallahu anhu and the other two companions again. And then afterwards they came back and they informed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This time round when we went back, he left the world and luckily he prayed the kalima before he left the world. So what do we understand? That look, for as long as the mother remained unhappy and displeased and angry and upset with the child at the time of his death was deprived from praying the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So we will end over here. MashaAllah, some very good and important advices came. We must always remember that no matter how our parents treat us, at the end of the day, they are our parents. They are our parents. And the Quran is saying that whatever they tell you to do, you must do unless they are telling you to disobey Allah. You can't disobey Allah. But anything else they tell you to do, you must fulfill their needs. My dear friends, by you doing khidmah of your parents is your own benefit. When you will do khidmah of your parents, you are making your own dunya, you are making your own deen. You will prosper yourself. You will see the benefits of doing the khidmah. I remember my sheikh, he told us once that, you know, there was a show going on, meaning a jalsa going on. And there was one young boy over there, and he had lost his both arms. He had lost his both arms. So he had come as a guest, and the people who were hosting the jalsa, they asked this boy that, you know what, if you had your arms, if Allah was to replace your hands again, what would be the first thing that you would do? What would be the first thing that you would do? What did this boy say? That I would run to my mother and I would give her a hug. I would run to my mother and I would give her a hug. For many, many years since I have lost my arms, I have not been able to hug my parents. Sheikh said that all the people who were present in the jalsa, they all started crying profusely. Crying so much, so touched by his sentence that Allahu Akbar, if Allah was to give him hands, he would go straight to his mother and hug him. How many years have gone by we have not gone to our parents and hugged them, kiss them on their forehead, do their khidmah when putting them to sleep. And the elderly sitting over here as well, let me tell you something, my dear friends. Again, like I was talking about yesterday, Allah has put us well off over here, and we're phoning our parents, telling them that, Dad, I've got a business trip to Turkey, and I've got a business trip to Japan, and I've got a business trip to China, and I've got to go over here this week, and I've got to go over here this week. And they are sitting there in India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, somewhere. You don't think their hearts are crying from inside? That my son has got time to roam the whole world. If he hasn't got time, then he hasn't got time to come and see me for a day. Come and spend a day with me. Come and do my khidmah. Come and let me see him. It should be that we should be yearning to see our parents. Times have gone so bad. Our parents are yearning to see us, yet we have no time for them. So we must make time for our parents. We must respect our parents. We must fulfill the rights of our parents. If any of our parents have passed away, we must continuously make dua for them. Continuously make dua for them and continuously do isal thawab for them. Praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gives us all the tawfiq. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala. Khairi khalifu Muhammad.